call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Friday edition.
Friday.
Yes, yeah, Friday edition of It's Your Turn. And have you adjusted to the return of wintry temperatures yet? I know. Me neither. At least the wind has died down today, so that's not so bad. And I actually saw the sun peeking out a couple of times. A few flurries, too, though. It looks like that big snowstorm is going to pass to the south of us. We'll be on the northern edge of it, and hopefully not too much tomorrow. That's good news. We're going to be talking about Meals on Wheels on the first segment of the program today. And we're always very pleased to be able to chat with Mary Paddicky, who's been the director of Butler Meals on Wheels for a long, long time. Mary, it's nice to have you with us here in the studio today.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me.
This is a significant year for Butler Meals on Wheels, is it not?
It's a big year for Meals on Wheels. We are celebrating 50 years.
Wow.
Yes, it was established in 1969.
Kind of scary to think of 1969 as 50 years ago, too. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
So how did it get started? I know you weren't there then, obviously.
I wasn't, but there were some Lutheran churches that actually saw the need in Butler, and they got things started up at Luther Hall in Butler, and they originally had 13 clients when they first started their meal delivery. You know, they found some people to help out. They just had the 13 clients, and then it grew from there. Currently, we're serving about 100 clients, but we're able to serve up to 150 today.
Mm-hmm. Luther Hall, is that next to St. Mark's Lutheran? Is that where that is?
Actually, the corner of Brady and Main.
At the First English Lutheran.
First English Lutheran, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
The name was escaping me.
Well, I know that church. In fact, we just talked with the pastor of that church late last year. They were celebrating,
they had a big
175th anniversary,
exactly,
or something like that. It was a big one. So that's where it all got started.
That's
huh?
where it all started.
Wow.
And we're currently serving out of St. Peter's Church on Jefferson Street.
That's St. Peter's Anglican.
Anglican, correct.
So I've had help from a variety of churches and a variety of denominations over the years.
Yes, huh? Yes. It's very nice. It's definitely a community effort.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time to talk about Butler Meals on Wheels, since obviously they're celebrating their golden anniversary, their 50th anniversary this year. But you also have one of your fundraising dinners coming up very soon, do you not?
We do. We actually have 4 fundraising dinners each year. The first one being this next Tuesday, January 15th,
mm-hmm.
From 4 to 7 p.m., and it's actually held right at the church, right mm-hmm. at St. Peter's Anglican Church.
St. Peter's Anglican is on East Jefferson Street. It's still downtown. How's the best way to describe it? It's right next to the little red schoolhouse.
It is. If you're heading toward Main Street, it's just before the little red schoolhouse mm-hmm. on the same side of the street.
Mm-hmm. Pretty church, too.
It is a pretty yeah. church.
I've partaken of your fundraising dinners, and they're outstanding.
Yeah. Thank you. We think so.
Yeah.
We have a couple choices. So you can have the beef pot roast over biscuits or the cream chicken over the biscuits.
I've had both.
And they're both so good. I always have a hard time deciding which one to get.
Moderately priced, too.
Yes, yes. You also receive coleslaw and homemade desserts. If you eat in, endless drinks, and lots of good fellowship.
$9. How are you going to beat that for $9, huh?
For sure.
Yeah. So that's this coming Tuesday. Well, that's the middle of January already.
That's hard to believe.
January 15th. No, that's okay. I like to get January behind me.
Right.
The sooner we get rid of January, the better. next Tuesday. And you serve from when to when, Mary?
4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay. Well, that's convenient for folks who like an early dinner or a late dinner or
yes.
whatever. Yeah. And great cause, too, obviously, because that helps to fund your whole program throughout the year, right?
It definitely does. We do not receive government funding. Our clients pay a minimal fee if they're able, about 50% of the cost of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
So then we rely on the goodness of the people of Butler, donations, volunteer hours. And to think that we've been doing that for 50 years is pretty remarkable. It says a lot about the people in Butler.
I know you have had some very, very faithful volunteers over the years. Some time ago, and I want to say it's about 5 years ago, I guess. I don't remember for sure. But I had several of the volunteers in here in the studio to talk. And a couple of them at that time had actually been volunteers for the entire history of Butler Meals on Wheels. So that would have been like, you know, 45 years or something like that.
Right. And we still have one volunteer that has been with the program from the beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
50 years of volunteering for the same organization.
Amazing. You always have room for more volunteers, though, right?
We always have room for more volunteers. Mm-hmm. Right now, this time of year, a lot of our volunteers go south for the winter. So we always have the need for our substitute volunteers, and we welcome that. Just contact us. We'd love to have you on board. And it's really a great help to complete our mission.
Talking with Mary Paticky, director of Butler Meals on Wheels, celebrating their 50th anniversary of this program getting started this year, 1969.
Correct.
Yeah. The Mary and I were talking before we went on the air about, I still talk with people about this, the great power outage of November of 2018. You know, how long were you out of power, so on and so forth. I forgot that Butler Meals on Wheels was greatly impacted by that power outage, right? And you had a wonderful beneficiary that helped you out one day.
Oh, my goodness, we sure did. The local Butler Hoagie Shop had a cancellation of 100 hoagies. And he contacted me early that morning and asked if we could use them. And just scrambling around, not knowing what the day was going to bring, would we have enough staff, would we have enough volunteers, you know, just not knowing. And, of course, so worried about our clients.
Mm-hmm.
Not only would they not get a meal delivery that day, but concerned that they may not have power.
Or heat.
And heat, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And are people checking on them? So it was a wonderful contribution. We were able to get the 100 hoagies delivered to the clients that were home. Thankfully, the ones that weren't home, we'd be knocking on the doors and no one's answering and you're concerned. And here's the Butler neighbors looking out for each other. Someone would stick their head out the door and say, oh, their daughter came and picked them up. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you knew everyone was taken care of.
And that happens many times where one of your volunteers will be delivering a meal and they'll notice that something might be amiss. Or, you know, a person that they have seen, you know, on a regular basis just doesn't seem quite the same or quite right. That's a great way to keep a check on people, isn't it?
It definitely is a great way to keep a check on people. You know, that's what's so important about the Meals on Wheels program. Not only are they getting a nice, hot, nutritious meal, but someone is checking on them. They know someone cares. And to me, that's half of what we do. And also, if we do have a concern, we have an emergency contact for each of our clients. So if we have any worries whatsoever, we contact that person
so
and make
sure. It could
be
a relative, a son, daughter.
A neighbor.
Nephew.
A friend.
Yeah,
yes.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Good idea. You have volunteer drivers that are the backbone of your delivery system, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. We have volunteers that come in each morning. They help us package the meals, write the clients' names on the bags, prepare sandwiches, and the process that's necessary for the meals. And then we also have the volunteers that come in to do the delivery. We have 12 routes that go to different areas throughout Butler. They use their own vehicles, their time, of course. And then someone typically rides along with them to do the delivery into the client.
Mm-hmm.
So we typically have 30 volunteers each day, using 150 volunteers per week.
Wow. So obviously, on occasion, somebody's going to be sick or out of town or on vacation or something like that, and you have like subs or people that you can call in on a periodic basis to help out?
We do. Yes, we have about 200 volunteers. So out of that, about 150 regulars, but then we have the others we can call upon to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful thing.
Who cooks the meals?
We have a cook that's been with Meals on Wheels for, this will be her 37th year.
Goodness gracious.
Yes, Roberta McCaslin. And
God bless you, Roberta.
God bless Roberta. She arrives at 8 a.m., and by 11:15, we have 100 hot meals heading out the door. Our clients also have the option of having a sandwich meal delivered.
So it could actually be a lunch and a dinner.
Exactly, with one delivery.
A hot dinner at the noon hour and then a sandwich later in
the day.
Right,
if they need something for later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How do you keep the meals hot when you're on the delivery runs?
We have what we call hot packs. It's a little plastic container that you actually put in boiling water in the morning.
Huh.
And it liquefies the material inside, and each chest for each route gets at least one of those in it, and that keeps the food hot until the volunteers come back.
So you have the insulated chests like,
exactly.
like pizza delivery people or something.
Exactly.
But do you have, everybody's familiar with those, they're usually blue, those cold packs that, you put in your insulated chest. So you have hot packs that go
in
there.
We do. Now we also have our cold packs. In the warmer weather, we also have the chest that contains a lunch bag that carries their milk and their desserts and their sandwiches. So in the warmer months, we also put that cold pack in that chest as well to keep those foods cool.
Butler Meals on Wheels delivers 5 days a week?
5 days a week, all holidays except for Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. Must be a godsend to so many people.
It is truly a godsend,
yeah,
to so many. And not only the clients we're sending the meal to, but their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of us work. We're not able to get over to see our loved ones through the day.
Especially on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Know.
Or maybe you live out of town. You know, you don't live near your parents. So it really is a relief for many people knowing that they're being taken care of. And they have that daily check. And we will call if needed.
Mm-hmm. The Butler Meals on Wheels celebrating its 50th anniversary now this year. 50 years. Still find that hard to believe. It's just wonderful. Yeah. What would be a typical hot meal? Just for example, I mean.
Oh, today our clients received turkey and sliced potatoes, and they had cranberry sauce. That's what was in the tray of the hot food. They always get a piece of bread with butter, a container of milk, and a dessert. The desserts might be a homemade goodie, which so many people in Butler are very generous with providing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Roberta makes Jell-O. They make pudding, fresh fruit, canned fruit.
So we're talking about a nutritious meal here.
It's not just something to eat. A very nutritious meal, right. And we do a very wide variety. because we can't go by likes and dislikes, we can accommodate some dietary issues. You know, if you're diabetic or low salt, or if you're allergic to a certain food item, we'll substitute a different food in that place so that you're not having issues with what we're sending you.
Well, that's terrific. Yes. That means there's a lot of logistical work in there.
Goodness. You know, and checks and double checks and triple checks before the meal heads out the door.
Yeah, who needs salt-free or low sodium or whatever?
Exactly. Yeah. But if you don't like Brussels sprouts, and it's a like and not a dietary issue, you're still going to get Brussels sprouts.
not one of my favorites, I must tell you. There's only a few things that I really can't eat in life. Brussels sprouts would be one of them, yes.
But like I said, we do such a wide variety of not only the main course, but the side dishes and the sandwiches and everything we send, because we're serving about 100 people a day, and we try to do a wide variety to keep everyone happy for the most part.
Is that part of your responsibilities, planning the the diet or the meals every week?
We have a general guide that we go by. However, we don't give out menus because that could change at any given time.
Last-minute availabilities or lack of availability.
Exactly. So we do review that occasionally. And then we have our, for the most part, local vendors that bring the supplies needed, and Roberta does some shopping. I do some shopping.
I was just going to ask you about that. Do you have to, do you have to go to the supermarket, or can you get at least some of this stuff delivered?
We get most of it delivered. But yes, we do trips to the grocery store also.
Big enough to just go, for yourself or your family, but to do that on a regular basis, that's a big trip to the supermarket.
And it's funny because sometimes you have your cart full of cases of food, if there is something we need to go, or a big quantity, and
you get a strange look from the cashier.
People give you some funny looks.
Mary Pabicki is the director, longtime director of Butler Meals on Wheels, celebrating their 50th anniversary. Now, there are other Meals on Wheels around, other parts of our listening area, other geographical parts, and that's simply because it's the nature of the business. You have volunteers that are delivering these, and they can't go 50 or 100 miles away. You're fairly close to the center of the county, right?
We are, and there are various Meals on Wheels across Butler County and across the nation. And I have a list at the office. We get a lot of the referrals come through our office because people don't realize there are so many other Meals on Wheels programs. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the area that the person may live. And I have listings and maps that I use, not only Google Maps, but also copies of the area that the other Meals on Wheels programs can provide meals. So then I will just give them the contact name and phone number for who may be able to help them for where they live.
And you said that you have 12 different routes that the meals are delivered on?
Exactly.
So on an average route, volunteers would be delivering how many meals? 10, 15, something like that?
Right now my largest route has 13 clients, and the smallest has 3. Mm-hmm. So we go to different areas throughout the city. We have some, I think, three different routes that cover the city itself. Then the outlining areas from there. So we head out toward East Butler, Herman, down Route 8 South, Route 8 North, 356 both directions.
So it's not just in the city.
Exactly. Yeah. Outlying areas, depending on which direction we're heading because of the other Meals on Wheels programs, but approximately about an 8-mile radius.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little bit more with Mary Pabicki here on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be back right after these messages.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
I was just 49 when I started getting mail from AARP. AARP? Shoot, I was just getting started in life. Then I hit my 60s and retirement was on my mind. The big question was, did I prepare? What about health care? Are my finances in order? Not just for my wife and me, but for the kids and grandkids. I got the answers I needed from attorney Michael Pater, specializing in elder law, long-term care, Medicaid, and wills and estate planning, is attorney Michael Pater in the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center. Phone 287-7724.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR on a Friday. Mary Paddock is here, the director of Butler Meals on Wheels, marking 50 years, 50th anniversary this year. Are you going to bake a cake or something or have a big birthday party at some point?
We are. Yes, the original date for Meals on Wheels was November 17th, 1969. So we're actually planning a celebration for this November. So we'll have a special dinner. We'll invite current staff and volunteers, of course, and try to get a notice out to anyone that's ever been involved with Meals on Wheels over the years. Mm-hmm. Open it up to others also. So we're really looking forward to that.
How do people sign up? Or maybe we have adult children of aging parents that would like information on what are the criteria? What are the requirements to be eligible?
That the person is homebound, unable to get out and about on their own. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean that you're not able to pick them up and take them out to their appointments or to church or, you know, whatever the case may be. But that the person's unable to drive themselves there,
catch a bus. They can be mobile. They don't have to be wheelchair-bound or bed-bound or anything.
Right. They're just not able to get out and about on their own and, you mm-hmm. know, get to the grocery store and buy their supplies and get it back home and prepare it. Mm-hmm. So that is our only requirement. There's no age restriction. There's no income restriction. We're just here to help those that are unable to do that for themselves.
So people can just call and then go through a screening process or whatever?
Exactly. Just give us a call, and it can be the individual themselves. You can call for okay. your neighbor, for your loved one. We get a lot of our referrals from the hospital, from nursing homes. A lot of people leave the hospital and then head to a nursing home for some rehab mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And so if they're leaving the hospital, a social worker may call and give us the information, or at least give us the name and phone number, and I'll contact that person and, you know, get what information we need. We do the intake right over the phone, and What's really nice about not being funded by the government is there's no red tape involved. If I know you're going home tomorrow and you need a meal delivered tomorrow, we make sure that happens.
Oh, that's great.
It is great.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have room to take more? Are you full up?
We are not full up. However, we have a couple routes that are pretty full. We do have to limit per route because of the delivery being done by volunteers. And so depending on where you may live, sometimes we have a waiting list. So you call in. That's usually the first thing I ask you is what is your address?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be sure they're talking to the correct Meals on Wheels program.
Yeah,
if not,
right.
Then I can provide that information. And then take it from there, you know, just get a little bit of information, very general information about where the person may live and what meal plan they prefer, you know, give them all the information they need on us, and then I get the information on them.
And the people pay a small stipend, a small fee?
They do, about 50% of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
However, no one's ever refused delivery if they can't afford that. We want to make sure everyone's taken care of that may need the help.
And what about your volunteers? A lot of people may be hearing us and saying, this is a wonderful thing, but I could never do 5 days a week delivering meals. Well, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, no.
Right? I mean,
no,
most
definitely.
Of your volunteers do a day or two, right?
Most of our volunteers that are regulars have 1 day a week they come in. So maybe every Monday morning they come in and help make sandwiches. Or, you know, you're the person that comes in every Thursday and delivers Route 10. So it's not a big commitment. The beauty of being a volunteer is if you want to take time off, you know, you have a vacation coming or you have people coming to your house for vacation or visits, just give us a little bit of notice. Let us know that you need that time off. And that's when we call our substitutes to come in and help out.
I just wanted to make sure that people realized it wasn't, you know, it's not like a full-time job where you have to be there Monday through Friday. You know?
No, we don't have any volunteers that are there 5 days. Like I said, most of them just 1 day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so great about it, Dave, most of our people have lived in Butler all their lives, and you walk in there and you're going to know at least one other person that's in there. And then you feel very comfortable with that. And before you know it, everyone, you know everyone, because it's a little social time prior to doing your delivery route.
I was going to suggest that. I'll bet there's a social factor involved
here.
Oh,
most definitely.
Plus, if you have a partner, if you're delivering, you know, the person who's driving or the person who's running the meals in, that's a nice team.
So it is a nice team, or you can make your own nice team. You know, if you have a friend or you and your husband or wife or, you know, whoever decides, you know, this is something we want to do, then we'll call you when we have both positions open.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of our volunteers do that, and then they go out to lunch afterwards. Or but it is, it's a nice place to be. And for those people that haven't lived in Butler all their lives and they want to get involved in the community, it's a great way to make friends.
Winter time, there are times you have to cancel because of big snows or below zero temperatures or something like that. I know you always call us and we announce it here on the
yes.
radio if you have to shut down for a day.
Yes, and but I appreciate
not,
that.
It's not very often, though, really.
It's really not too often, but we do have to look out for the safety of our volunteers as well.
Not just driving, but, you know, walking up a sidewalk or climbing
exactly.
steps to a house or something.
Exactly.
That's a factor that has to be taken into account. Yeah.
And twice a year, what we do is we send out what we call storm bags. We have a little group of volunteers that get together and pack some shelf-safe foods. And we send one of those to each of our clients in the fall. And then again, after the new year,
so
they're not charged
like
for that.
An emergency ration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That way, if there would be the chance we can't get out for a day, they can save that little bag of food for that day and make sure they're taken care of.
It's a great program. Hey, folks, if you'd like to support it, certainly you could volunteer. That would be most welcome. But you could just go to the dinner next Tuesday evening. Have a nice meal. I'll be there at some point. I'm not sure when. you know, for $9, you get a nice meal. You can talk with the folks there, enjoy some delicious food and desserts. And you know that you're helping to fund this program, Butler Meals on Wheels. Mary Paddocky, nice to see you today.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It's nice to see you, too. Yeah.
Happy 50th birthday to all the folks at Butler Meals on Wheels. That's great.
It's a big year for us.
More to come on It's Your Turn. Stick around. We'll be chatting. We're going to be talking with a departure interview with the intern that we've had with us for the past several weeks. Kristen will be stopping in here in just a moment or so. So please stick around. We'll be back with more right after these words. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Folks, you talk about tradition. You realize Miller's Shoes has been in downtown Butler for well over 120 years now. Yeah, that's tradition. That's staying power. Miller Shoes, your headquarters for shoes for all members of the family. If you're looking for athletic shoes, they've got them for men, women, teens, kids, and they've got all the famous brands, too, right there under one roof. Miller Shoes has Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro-Pet, and more. Athletic shoes for the whole family. They've also got Rockport shoes and Trotters and Hush Puppies, and many other famous name brands as well. Easy Spirit. And they're your local headquarters for America's favorite comfort shoes, SAS. You'll find them for men and women in a variety of styles and colors at Miller's Shoes. You can always count on that great Miller's fit, too. And a friendly smile from the Ciprians. Miller's Shoes, headquarters for shoes for the entire family. 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes.
Did you buy a car, truck, or SUV last year thinking you were going to get 0% or some other low-rate finance offer and then drove off the lot with a much higher rate? Don't worry. Armco Credit Union has the solution. Refinance with us and get a 60-month loan on a 2016 or newer vehicle for just 2.24% APR. We've got low rates on older models, too. It's never been easier to join, so call any of our four branch locations today or visit us at armcocu.com for membership and rate information. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federal. Insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Friday edition of It's Your Turn today. Oh, it's a sad day for us because we have to say goodbye to the intern who's been with us for the past several weeks now here at WISR, Kristen Deering. It's going to be sad without you here.
Yeah, it's going to. I'm going to miss the folks here and miss coming in and doing assignments for people. And it'll be a change to go back to school and everything. And, I'll miss everyone here and what you all taught me.
So you are, first of all, where do you go to school?
I go to Westminster College.
Mm-hmm. And what are you studying there, Kristen?
Multimedia journalism.
I see. So you have how much time left? Are you a senior? Is this your last year?
Yep, my last year. This will be my last semester. I'm a senior. Going to move on to the real world.
Do you plan to go out into the workplace, or do you have grad school aspirations, or not sure yet, or what?
Not quite sure yet, but I'm pretty sure I am going to go into the workforce somewhere, wherever I'm needed, I guess. Not grad school, but I'm more uncertain about, you know, where what job and, you know, what's next.
What was the name of your major again? Because in communications, it's changed so much over the past couple of decades, you know?
Yeah, it really has. We just changed. It used to be called digital journalism, but then the higher-ups thought that it would make more sense to call it multimedia journalism, so they recently did change the name. And, yeah, they've changed a lot of, like, the curriculum. They've changed a lot of the like equipment that they use and show students how to use. And I like the change. I like the changes. Like, multimedia journalism makes, I think, is a bit clearer. It shows that we have experience in a lot of journalism mediums, like experience with the radio, like here, experience down in the soccer field, like holding a camera and, you know, all kinds of different mediums.
Do you actually, as part of your undergraduate work at Westminster, is there a campus radio station there or something you can work at?
Yeah, there's. I work at Titan Radio. It's a little, just as it sounds, it's a small campus radio that goes out to like all of New Wilmington, and I think some people tested it out. I don't remember who, but someone tested it out on campus, and it actually goes further than they thought, the signal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a small campus.
Well, that's the way it is at almost all universities that have a mm-hmm. have a program. It's a
yeah.
low power transmitter because you're broadcasting to the campus community more than anything else.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's more to the campus community. It plays automatically, like in their like student center and in like some of the food areas where you know cafeterias and where mm-hmm. we eat. And then, but even yeah, there's like a free app for it, and people like especially professors I think like to listen to it. One professor, my old biology professor, she said she heard my voice on the radio giving the news, and she had compliments. So, but yeah, that's just an example of the people that look at that or hear the news and where it goes on campus.
Well, it's nice to know that. It does surprise me at Westminster because that's a great school, but kind of opening up a number of different avenues. I know when I was in undergraduate school, it was like, you know, a couple of areas. It was journalism, if you wanted to, you know, work at a newspaper. And it was broadcast journalism, if you wanted to go into radio or television. And that was about it in terms of the communication major. But it's just so wide open now with all the digital possibilities, podcasting, you know, everything else.
There's even different, a lot of different work studies. Like, you know, I help with the radio news, but there's someone else that works in the station that does like the social media, like gets all the events like on the website and stuff. And there's people that work for mainly for like the sports, like trying to broadcast any games like live on the radio station or live on a, I don't know what exactly it's called. I should, but I don't have much experience with the TV part of the school. But we do have some kind of there is some kind of way to on like cable TV to get to see the watch the games live of football.
Well, it's a great when you're on a campus. Mm-hmm. Great opportunity to cover sports because you know it's all right there. You know, mm-hmm. basketball, football, whatever. Some of the minor sports.
Yeah.
So what would be your dream job? Or don't you know yet?
I don't really know yet. Like I said, I'm kind of open to things, and I want to go where I'm needed, where I feel I can contribute a lot. Mm-hmm. But I guess like if I had to look like somewhere way down the line, it'd be cool to I always thought National Geographic would be cool. That's not radio necessarily, but I thought it'd be. I've always liked their articles and their pictures, and they get to go to cool places.
Do you write a lot, or did you have writing classes at Westminster?
Yeah. I'm actually a writing minor, and I've had a lot of writing classes, and I enjoy writing fiction, poetry, and then I've also written feature stories, which are more the format of like National Geographic.
National Geographic might be good. You know, they're doing a lot of multimedia stuff now. In fact, I did a couple of interviews with folks last fall. I think probably before you got here.
Yeah.
About some of their TV specials that they do on a regular basis, and a couple of books too that they published. It's not just. For those of you baby boomers out there, it's not just the National Geographic magazine anymore, which, you know, the iconic yellow magazine. They've expanded into a lot of different areas, so that might be a good place for you.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too, to document nature documentaries or something. That'd be, like I said, I'm open.
might be able to travel the world, too. Have you traveled much?
Oh, yeah, I've traveled a lot. I've this past summer, I studied abroad in Japan. And I also volunteered to write a travel blog while I was over there. It was from Athena Abroad, and they were looking for people to volunteer to write a travel blog and post pictures, say what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to do that.
That'd be good for your resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
How do you study abroad in Japan? I'm assuming, maybe I don't, that mm-hmm. you don't speak Japanese. Maybe you do. I don't know.
I'm still trying to learn. I still have a lot to learn. It all depends on the program. Like, there's some that you do need to know a lot of, you need to be fluent in Japanese, or you need to go there to learn it. But with mine, we had a Japanese guide, a native of the area who of course spoke Japanese, and she was a very good guide. Her name was Yuko, and she was very good at leading us around the city and translating for us.
You went with a group of students, not by yourself?
Yep, with a group of all kinds of students. There was one other person from PA. There were two or three people from California, just far and wide. People found the program and signed up for it.
Were you studying anything in particular, or was it just a general opportunity to be abroad and studying abroad?
We had a few choices of classes. It was mostly humanities courses. I took a director's class on learning about the famous directors of Japan. And then I took a creative writing course, culture.
Movie directors of Japan?
Mm-hmm.
Be fascinating.
So, it was Hayao Miyazaki, Akira Kurosawa, a lot of famous ones.
You've named about the only two that I know.
Yeah, we learned about four main ones. I know one was called, my teacher always, this isn't his full name, but Ozu, I think. He had he's not as famous, but he did have very, very kind of still life, simple movies, but good. So that's an example of one people don't know about, and I can't remember the last one.
These are not the grade B science fiction movies that we sometimes see from Japan.
No, I don't think
on,
so.
On the million-dollar movie, no. These are world acclaimed directors that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Yep, Kurosawa did Seven Samurai. Hayao Miyazaki did Spirited Away. I could list a bunch.
I need to take a break here, so we'll do that. We'll be back and talk a little bit more with Kristen in just a moment. It's your turn on WISR for Friday, back after these words.
Hey, folks, have you heard about Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Gone Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Gone Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary. Also, greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Gone Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Welcome back. We're talking with Kristen Deering. She has been an intern with us here at WISR for, when did you come here?
I started December 17th, I believe.
I knew it was before Christmas, but I wasn't quite sure when.
Mm, yeah.
And she's going to be leaving us today. This is our last day here. She's going to go back to Westminster for the start of the spring semester, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yep, my last semester.
Yeah. You mentioned that you were in Japan last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
studying.
Last summer.
Did you have a chance to explore any parts of Japan or absorb any of the culture there?
Oh, I had plenty of chances to do that. We did. Yeah, it was a good mix of like sitting in class and then going out to explore and having day trips. So we stayed in Tokyo for 3 weeks and then Kyoto for 3 weeks, and we got to explore both of those at length. We saw a bunch of temples and shrines, and we saw so many of those we were getting tired of them. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like tell the difference because there's so many. We got to try a lot of food, do traditional dinners, and we got to go to different like famous streets of Tokyo where there's a lot of different like shopping areas. Like one of them is Harajuku, and it's like a fashion street, like a lot of cutesy fashion. if that makes any sense. And
I don't know too much about Japan. I've never been there or anything, and I'm not too knowledgeable about it. Mm-hmm. You have also traveled to other parts of the world. You've been really blessed to travel at your mm-hmm. young age. Where else have you been?
I've been to when I was back in high school, I went to Russia. There was a small school trip to Russia.
You went to Russia when you were in high school?
I did. I went with a group, not by myself, of course.
When I was in high school, we took a school trip to Shikora. There's a big difference to Russia. Wow.
Yeah. It was a good opportunity because we have, I think she's still there, Mrs. Myers. She taught French and Russian, fluent in both. And so she would take, she also took me to Quebec. And then people had an opportunity to go to Russia, and you didn't have to like take her Russian course to go. It was just open to the high school.
So you took Russian in high school?
No, I actually took French.
Russian is offered at, you went to Portersville Christian. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, very small Christian school. And so even more surprising that we would be able to do a trip like that overseas.
What part of Russia did you go to?
We went to St. Petersburg, Moscow, and Smolensk. Smolensk is a smaller area. I'm sure most people know about Moscow.
Moscow's the capital. Mm-hmm. St. Petersburg used to be Leningrad. Well, it was originally St. Petersburg and then changed it. The Soviets changed it to Leningrad. And then once the Soviet Union collapsed, it went back to St. Petersburg. Lots of museums there. I've never been there, but I know it's a city that I'd like to visit sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's worth it. There's a lot of cool buildings and monuments. We went to like a big art museum, a huge place. It was also like free admission that day, so there were so many people. But it was worth it. There was a lot of cool art there.
Did you get to see Red Square when you were in Moscow, the government, central government headquarters for Russia?
Yeah, I think we did. Obviously, I don't think we got to get very close to the actual like government buildings, but it was
nobody does.
Yeah, we got to go in there and to see the St. Basil's Cathedral, I think it's called.
It's such an iconic view when you see the walls of the Kremlin and then the onion-domed buildings inside.
Mm. Yeah, it's a beautiful building. And we saw the outside of, is it Lenin who's buried there? Like a body on display?
Lenin's tomb, yeah.
Yeah, it was closed that day, but we saw the outside. Like, I guess our teacher or someone was like, oh, there it is, but it's closed right now.
Kind of morbid.
Yeah, a bit morbid. Probably not all of us would have wanted to see it anyway.
Was it, were you there in the summer or the winter? Or?
In the summer, so it wasn't, I didn't get to experience the brutal Russian winter. It was a good temperature, like 70s, 80s.
You didn't have to deal with the Dr. Zhivago snow and ice and everything else.
Yeah, that was, no winter wonderlands of Dr. Zhivago.
Now, what was the other city that you visited in Russia?
St. Petersburg, which I guess I've been kind of mixing the two up, like where we went. But I think I was more talking about Moscow just now. But yeah, St. Petersburg is more artsy, I guess, which there's a lot of like art vendors there. Like there was someone there who had a bunch of cat art, like she a bunch of little paintings of her cat and cats of the city that were pretty cool. A lot of one of the bomber hats, the Russian rabbit fur hats, which I got one. I still have it. So a lot of cool vendors and artists there.
Where else in the world have you traveled, for goodness sakes?
Some people call me a world traveler, like in my church. They know, they hear all about where I'm going. We also went to Quebec. I think I mentioned that, also from the same teacher. For only the French students, we went up there and stayed for like a few days, about a week.
Well, if you're not going to France, Quebec or Montreal's a place to go, because you can kind of close your eyes and think you're in France.
Yeah, you can hear the people and imagine the Eiffel Tower. And that place we did go in the winter, and it was bitterly cold. It was still definitely worth it, but we had to get bundled up real warm, and our guide kept reminding us to like drink water, make sure we're hydrated.
And this was also a school related trip, Kristen?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Another thing organized by our language teacher, who also organized the Russian trip. So, and it was more of a regular thing, I think. I think she would do it every other year or so with her French students.
You have brothers and sisters? You come from a big family?
Not really. I just have my older brother, Carl. He's about 28 now.
Does he also travel like you do?
Nope. He's. I don't know a lot of people that have been to a lot of places like me. They're still... It's nice to meet people that have, but yeah, a lot of people are surprised, and yeah, he hasn't traveled much.
Don't you think that's so great, though, especially at your age, to have been able to experience, you know, you're talking two cultures that are pretty radically, not only radically different from each other, but radically different from our culture,
you know? Yeah.
Russia and Japan. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all very different, and I would encourage anyone to, if you have a chance to travel.
It widens your perspective on the world and on life, especially when you're getting ready to start out, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to, that's another reason why I decided to take the opportunities, because, you know, whenever you have a regular job and the family, it's a lot harder to get away and be able to do that. So
where else would you like to go? Don't tell me it's New Zealand or somewhere like that.
Actually, New Zealand would be pretty cool. Australia, it seems like a good place to go. Beautiful place.
I've seen pictures. It just takes a doggone long to get there.
You know? The flight to Japan.
Day and a half, you know.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get to Japan? Did you have to stop anywhere?
I went across Canada to get there. I went from like Pittsburgh to Toronto to Vancouver, and then Vancouver across the ocean to Tokyo, and then it was a long flight. It was, especially the one overseas, it was like 18-hour flight total.
Yeah. And did you have to change airlines or?
No, I went to Air Canada. They were the cheapest option, the most reasonable, like with way over time, and it was a good experience, but tiring.
Oh, very much so. When you're on a plane for that long, people actually say it's dangerous. You know, you need to get up and walk around a little bit. You get blood clots in your legs when you're sitting on a plane for that length of time.
Yeah. I think I was like in the middle or towards the. I think I was in a bad position to get up and walk around, so I wasn't able to do that much. But they had TV and music, so I was pretty entertained.
Well, I got news for you. It takes even longer to fly to New Zealand, so.
Yeah, I bet.
You have to go into training if you're going to go there.
New Zealand, Australia. I'd love to go back to Japan. Trying to save up to go back, because there's so much to see.
You didn't feel like a fish out of water when you were there, you know, that everyone was looking at you and saying, obviously, she's not from Japan. You know?
Yeah.
She's not one of us.
It's when we had a big group of like 12, 15 or so people in Tokyo. So when we went together, we weren't stared at as much because, you know, we were in a big group. But then when I went like by myself to certain areas or with, you know, just a few people. You definitely felt stares, but not like bad ones, you know, just like, you know, like, oh, like foreigners, not like mean feeling stares.
Do you ever have any trepidation or feelings of uneasiness about traveling abroad at your young age?
Not really, honestly. I my first plane ride was like to Disney World when I was like very young, and that was a good experience overall. So I guess that knocked out the whole initial fear of flights that most people probably have when they've never flown before.
Well, I wasn't so much referring to fear of flying, but mm-hmm. you know, being halfway around the world.
Yeah,
it's, you know, unless you're going to the moon, you can't get much further away than Japan.
Yeah, it's. No, there really wasn't. I knew I was going to... I was homesick a bit with my family, and...
Could you still text them or talk to them on your cell phone?
Yeah, it took a while for, like, my phone plan to, like, I guess, catch up to me or something. Like, it took a day or so. But when it did, I was able to text them for a pretty good deal and, you know, let them know I'm... give them quick updates of what I was doing.
I am here. I am okay.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, when my phone plan wasn't working, I had to email them with my computer and be like, hey, just letting you know I'm still alive. Well, my phone plan just isn't working right now.
Maybe your parents. Those are the ones I should ask if they had a little bit of trepidation about you going on these long trips.
I think they were more worried than I was.
Well, it has been a delight to have you here with us, and I'm sorry to see you have to go. But
yeah, me too.
You have things to do. It's time to get back to school, huh?
Yeah, time to get back to the grind of school.
Was it valuable for you to be with us for a month or so?
Yeah, it certainly was. It was. I feel like I learned a lot. I learned a lot about like this format of interviewing here, talking with people on live air. And knowing how to, you know, run along a nice interview. I learned a lot about writing PSAs and advertisements. And I learned a lot about what it takes to run a small radio station like this. Like, all the activity and all the different, like, little, like, promotions that we do. And
well, that's the point of an internship. You learn a little bit about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I learned a lot, and it was very valuable, good experience.
Well, good luck as you get into your last semester, and certainly good luck in your career as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me here. It's on this show and radio station today.
Kristen Deering visiting with us. We need to take a quick break here before we say goodbye, do we not? Pat? Okay. We'll be back right after these words. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available. Also, prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
I'm a big believer in community medicine.
Meet Dr. Richard Begg, the newest member and clinical leader of the Butler Health System cardiology team.
People like to be taken care of where they live. The closer you are, the closer the relationship. So there's a real loyalty to Butler Health System. That's something people in the region have invested in for a long time.
For more than 20 years, our cardiovascular center has brought world-class heart care to the heart of our community. Today, we're building on that strong past to ensure an even stronger future.
Most everything you would find in a larger health system, you'll find right here. People with cardiovascular disease are showing the ultimate trust in us. And we don't take that for granted. We work to earn it every single day.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler answers your questions about cremation. Here are the most asked questions. Should you consider cremation for your loved one? Is it appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? What's the appropriate funeral service? And what's the cost? These are all good questions. Cremation offers three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller's cremation services are right here in Butler at our own newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. Let's talk it over privately here at Thompson Miller in Butler, or call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Pro-life issues on the agenda for discussion on the Monday It's Your Turn program. Will abortion once again be outlawed in the United States? The new makeup of the Supreme Court, who knows? We'll be talking about it and other pro-life issues, too, with Larry Black and Michael Harvey on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Nice to have you with us today. We thank our guests, Kristen Deering and Mary Paddicky. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Monday, 12:30, on It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 in Butler.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.